Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you that you are in control in our world and that we can trust you. Father, we pray your blessing on this meeting together, that Christ would be exalted, that you would draw us closer to yourself. We thank you for this. Thank you for each one who's joined together this morning here in the sanctuary and as well those joining online as well. We pray that you would stir in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, today we're going to be continuing in the book of Revelation. We're coming nearing the end of this amazing book, but we're not to the end quite yet, but we are going to talk about the end of the world. The end of the world. The title for today's message, How Will the World End? How will the world end? We're going to go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Now, we won't be able to cover every aspect, and really, you know, we've been talking about end times for the better part of this year, even last year, in this series here in Revelation. And each of those are available on YouTube here. For those joining online, they are there on our channel. In fact, the description below this video gives the link to the playlist, and you can find that right below in the description. So if you want to go back and listen to a title there or several of them, please do that. But today, how will the world end? The world is going to come to an end. That is a fact. That is a reality. And so how will it happen? We're going to start here in verse 5, Revelation 20 and verse number 5. The Bible says, in fact, you know, why don't I start in verse 4? I'd like to do that just to give a little more background. So verse 4 of Revelation 20, the Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we have some talk in there about the tribulation period and then the millennial reign of Christ. We talked about much of this last week in these verses. But now verse 5, it says, "But the rest of the dead." So it just talked to us about those who specifically in the tribulation died for Christ. But it says now in verse 5, "The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." We'll pause there in our reading and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us this morning. Teach us from your word. I pray that you would help any who don't know Christ to see the urgency of coming to him today, trusting on Jesus and having the old account of sin settled because Christ paid the price. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my sin on yourself and for giving me your righteousness. It is good to be a saint. Thank you for the work of grace you've done in my heart and in the heart of each believer. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How will the world end? I've got 5 main points here that I'd like to share with you. But first of all, I'd like to just simply state the world will not end for at least 1,007 years. The world will not end for at least another 1,007 and 7 years. Why do we say that? Well, we'll go back to our chart here just to get our time frame. We have here the chart that we've looked at, and we'll come to the end. We're in the church age, and I don't know how close we are to the rapture, but the rapture is next, really, in God's calendar in terms of where we're looking for Christ to come in the clouds for his own. 1 Thessalonians 4. Then the Bible describes, which is much of the book of Revelation, describes those 7 years of tribulation upon this earth. After the 7 years, which I believe are very clearly literal 7 years, we will return with Christ to this earth, and he will reign for 1,000 literal years. He is going to be physically in Jerusalem, reigning. The Bible tells us his feet, when he comes in that second coming to rule and reign, his feet are going to touch on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split apart, and he will rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. More could be said about that. We covered it last week. Then the end comes, after the 1,000 years. And that's what we are reading about here a little bit today. After the millennial reign of Christ. So that's why it's going to be at least 1,007 years till the world ends. Now Christ, I believe, is going to return in the rapture to catch his bride away much, much sooner than that. And after the rapture happens in the twinkling of an eye, and we are with him, and the dead in Christ are raised at that point in the rapture, then we have all these other things that are going to take place on God's calendar that he's prescribed in the scriptures. I believe this is the straightforward understanding of what the scripture says. It seems very straightforward in that regard. And so here we are. Now we're at the end of the millennial reign. The millennium is going to be an awesome time on this earth. I mean, you and I, if you know Christ, we are going to be here in the millennium reigning with Christ, ruling and reigning with Christ. We are going to be in glorified bodies without the ability to even sin. We are going to be administering his righteous government, having opportunity to serve the Lord God as glorified saints without a sinful nature. We are going to be in our glorified bodies serving God. Now, on this earth, there are going to be natural human beings. Some who will come to Christ and be saved, others who will go along to get along, but will have hard hearts. That is true. And so, how will the world end? Well, number one, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon this earth. That is when the world will end. I want to read a portion from Daniel. If you would flip over to Daniel chapter 12, I'd like to read several verses to you which apply to this time. Daniel 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, I'll remind you, the prophecy of Daniel here was given 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago, Daniel, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, penned these words. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is an angel, and a faithful angel, and he is called here the great prince that stands for the nation of Israel. He really, one of his main commissions from God is to oversee the nation of Israel. Very interesting. But anyway, Michael stands for the children of thy people, middle of verse 1, and there shall be a time of trouble. Hello, this is the tribulation being referenced here. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That is undoubtedly the book of life. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The heavenly stars you see now, the beautiful starry sky on a clear night, God says, those who are wise, which are those who've trusted Christ, those who follow Jesus, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That is a reference to eternity. And God's people, the children of God, those who have trusted him, those who have served him, shining forever and ever, shining like the stars. Hey, I'll tell you what, it's good. It's good to know God. It's good to be saved. It's good to follow Christ. Great things in store. But verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. 2,500 years ago, Daniel was said, hey, close the book. This is for the time of the end. Now, Daniel, I don't know, really understood that it was going to be 2,500 years or more. Clock's still counting. But I believe we are in these last days. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to happen. It's not just one event, boom, the world's done. There are all of these things that we've been covering here in the study in Revelation. All right? So, we want to understand that. Back to Revelation 20. I want to point out and explain a few of the things that we have looked at here. It says here in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. In other words, lost people will remain dead, not raised. Now, the Bible indicates they will be in hell during this time, but they've not been raised with a new body, with a different body. They've not been raised to life again. More I could say about that, but that's just the plain, simple teaching here. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. It's not talking about these dead. It's talking about the ones in verse 4 that the believers, the saved, who I will be in this group. Lord willing, you will be in this group if you've trusted Christ, right? This is the first resurrection. This is a kind of resurrection. The first resurrection is a resurrection completely and only for the redeemed. Only the redeemed who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who have come by faith to Jesus and been saved. They, each one of us, will be raised in the first resurrection. Now, the first resurrection is not a singular event, but it is a resurrection of the saved. It is a resurrection of the saved. For example, at the rapture, some will be raised. All of the church, certainly, who have died in Christ, knowing Jesus, will be raised at the rapture. But then more will die, just like our reference here in verse 4, who during the tribulation are beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God and for their testimony, who would not receive the mark of the beast. Well, at the end of the tribulation, they too will be raised and will reign in the 1,000-year millennium. So the first resurrection is not a singular event, but it is a resurrection for all the saved, everyone who trusts Christ. So there'll be more than one time. In fact, I'd like to point out some of the words of Jesus in John 11 when he spoke to Martha. He spoke to Martha at the death of Lazarus, her brother. These were friends of Jesus. And Jesus said to Martha, who was a believer, she believed in the resurrection. She believed, yes, Jesus, one day Lazarus, my brother, will rise. Yes, I believe that. And Jesus said these words, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Martha, Martha, the resurrection isn't an event. It's me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Death is not the end for the child of God. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? Believest thou this? Never die? Why, I know lots of believers who have died. Well, he's not talking about the first death, which we are so familiar with, where we have funerals. He's talking about the second death. Please notice, as we read the scripture here in Revelation, notice verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. That, I believe, is exactly what Jesus is talking about here in verse 26 of John 11. He says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never take part in the second death. That's exactly what he means. Revelation 20, verse 6. It says, on such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Speaking there of the millennium specifically, but we, you know, this body may die. One day you may read in the paper that Paul Dick has passed away. But I'll tell you what, that is the first death. But my Savior has, I will never face the second death, which the Bible will go on to detail what that is. That is the eternal damnation of the soul in the lake of fire. And we who have trusted Christ will never face that eternal separation from God. Thank God. Because we have part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection, the resurrection of the saved. And so the Bible talks about these things right here. Praise God. Notice I want to touch on verse 6 again because there's two words that really stuck out to me. Verse 6, talking about those who have part in the first resurrection. It says, blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Wow. You know, there is joy in knowing the Lord. Blessed and holy. The word blessed means happy. And the word holy means set apart unto God. Set apart for sacred use. If you are saved, you have part in the first resurrection, and you are happy. Happy for all eternity, friends. And set apart for sacred use. You know what we're going to do in eternity after this world is done and gone? We are going to serve and love and live in the joy of our Lord. Oh, it is wonderful. Not just the 1,000-year millennium, which will be a very unique time on this earth, but into eternity. We will be happy and set apart unto God. Consider a couple of verses quickly. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joy and peace in believing. In the world, and if you follow after the world leaves you empty, it leaves you dry, it leaves you hopeless. But there is joy and peace and hope for those who trust God, for those who believe God. Real joy, real purpose. Consider John 5, verse 24. Verily, the words of Jesus, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thank God for those of us who have trusted Christ. We have passed from death unto life, eternal life. In Jesus. Oh, this body may die. If time rolls on long enough, it will. Guaranteed. But you know what? I will not face the second death. But I will be raised in the first resurrection. Praise God. How will the world end? Well, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon this earth. Secondly, with one last great rebellion against God. Look at verses 7 and verse 8. It says here, It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Remember, Satan was bound during the 1,000 years. He will be. This is all future. He will be bound, which will be a wonderful thing. Satan, after that, though, is going to be loosed, the Bible says. Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And so, a great rebellion will come after the millennium against God. Consider this. I mean, one of the absolutely the best times on planet Earth, in the millennial reign of Christ, God is directly going to be ruling. He's physically going to be on this earth. We who are His and are in our sinless, glorified bodies will be in His administration. It will be perfect justice on planet Earth. It will be a wonderful time. But yet, there will be those natural human beings who will rebel against God. When the devil will be released after those 1,000 years, after people have been hundreds of years. Remember, their lifespans are increased and all that. We talked about that last week. Their lifespans are increased. It's a wonderful time on planet Earth, with the righteous government like there's never ever been. And people will still rebel against God. They will side with Satan when he's released from prison and he comes, and they will fall for him. They will throw God away. They will turn to him. And it says, so many is the number that they're like the sand of the sea. I believe that one of the main reasons God has the millennium planned, this unique 1,000-year time where the curse is in some ways lessened and lifespans are increased and disease is lessened and all these things are so much better and so much more like the pre-flood condition and all of that. You know what? God is vindicating that He is righteous in judging the wicked because they are vile and they are rebels. And there are people who absolutely will not accept the grace and cleansing of God. Can you believe that? And God is setting up a time where He's going to give people, natural human beings like you and I are right now, a different environment. And He will stop every excuse that mankind has made, perhaps in this age. The devil made me do it. You know, how can we do right when the devil's roaming around? And yet, God is going to bind the devil. And people are still in their hearts going to be brewing rebellion. And when the devil comes out, boom, a host will just follow him in rebellion against God. And so, how will the world end? With one last great rebellion against God. Oh, the wickedness of the human heart. I'll touch on these verses quickly. Well, I guess I got a few in here. I'm running out of time. But Hebrews 2, verse 3, the first part. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And here's what I was thinking of. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And 2 Peter 2, verses 14 and part of 15, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children which have forsaken the right way. Oh, the condition of man's heart is horrible. And God knows it. And just the same, He makes salvation available to whosoever will. I'll tell you what, there is no person who is too wicked that God is not willing to save them. There is no person who's done just too much sin that Jesus would reject them. The door of grace, of God's mercy is wide open for whosoever will. For God loved the whole world and he gave his son. Praise God. Well, let's continue with number three. How will the world end? With God's ultimate victory and Satan's eternal doom. Look at verse 9 of Revelation 20. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed. This is that, the Satan's host that he's rallied against God. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The last great battle. This rebellion against God will be dealt with by God in his mighty power swiftly. And he will rightly judge Satan and the wicked who follow him. And so consider that. Verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast refers to the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the false prophet, those characters that will be a part of the tribulation period, they are already there. The Bible has told us in previous verses, and they're still there. After the 1,000 years, after all of that time, they're still there. And I'll tell you what, if you checked back, now this is all future, but of course, if you were to check back in 1,000,000 years or 1,000,000,000 years, you know where they'd be? They'd still be there. Hell is real. I should be more accurate and say the lake of, well, hell is real. The lake of fire is ultimately the eternal place of damnation spoken of right here. And Satan will face his doom. And so how will the world end? With God's ultimate victory and Satan's eternal doom. Victory is sure. Oh, the battle is raging today. But Satan is a defeated foe. He is. God, in his infinite wisdom, has not sent him to the lake of fire yet. Why? Because God knows better than we. And he wants people to choose him. He wants people to willingly come to him and find him. His arms are open, and his grace is sufficient. You submit yourself, therefore, to God. You resist the devil, and he will flee. Hands down, he's got to. Are you in submission to God? Submission to God brings victory. Victory over the devil. I think I'm going to have to pick up next week. We've got a lot more to cover to come to the end of the chapter here. Talking about the great white throne judgment. And so, how will the world end? Well, we've touched on some simple things the Bible says. It's going to be after the millennium, after the millennial reign of Christ on this earth. It's going to be when? After the last great rebellion against God. And number three, with God's ultimate victory and Satan's eternal doom. Praise God. Christ and those of us who've trusted him are on the winning side. I'll tell you what, don't follow sin. Don't follow the lusts of this world. Follow Jesus. Let's recognize the blessing and the joy there is in Christ. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. If you know Christ, we're looking forward to that first resurrection of the saved. Praise God. He is in control in this world. As things seem to get worse and worse and wickeder, you know, the Bible has told us that would happen. Perilous times would come in the last days. Daniel was told to close up that book, the prophecy. He said it's for the time of the end. And I believe we are in that time of the end. Are we living for Jesus? Are we ready for his soon return in the clouds for his own? Praise God. We'll pick it up there next time. If you don't know Christ, maybe you're joining online even, maybe you're listening at a later date. If you don't know Christ, contact us. We'd like to talk to you. We'd like to send you something that you can read. But by all means, do something about it. Your life is too precious. God loves you.